One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, it started with an abandoned cabin, a tragic local legend, and a ghost hunt with some friends. But it didn't end that night because it seemed to follow her home.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hey, thank you very much for listening. We really appreciate it. If you want to share a story with us, it's as easy as calling 855-853-4802 and leaving us a voicemail, or write it in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Become a premium subscriber if you want. You get no commercials, advanced episodes, access to the archive, and you can sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. I'm just telling you, this is one of the reasons why I don't love, like, sometimes when I go to a haunted place or I don't want to do investigations because I'm afraid something's going to follow me home.
I knew you were going to say that when you read that intro, because I thought, oh, this one's going to get Carol because she is panicked that something will follow her home. Now, where does that come from? Where I think that's irrational because I don't think you've ever had a spirit follow you home.
But or have I?
Or have you? That is true too. But I think you have had a stalker before.
Oh, I've had a couple of those.
Right? And I think that, you know, puts you in that other weird mindset of being kind of constantly a little worried in the back of your mind that somebody or something is out there. Yeah. And so then, you know, naturally it'll translate to this.
Because, like, no shit. I can think of four relationships I've been in where they basically stalked me afterwards.
I've been in a couple of that. It weren't even people that I was dating or anything, just people that were stalking me. And it is, and this goes for a lot of many, many women. It's not just, and men. I'm sure men have.
Oh my God, yeah.
You know, right? And what it is horrifying when you're living your life worried about going home or. Has somebody been, you know, you're looking at the door, you're looking, you know, you walk in, you're looking everywhere to make sure nothing's, it's kind of a really awful way to have to live when that's going on.
I also, when I go to a haunted location, I always, when I leave, I'm like, you stay here, do not go with me. Because, like, when we did that ghost tour in Astoria, they even said, you know, make sure on your way out, you tell them that you don't want them to go with you.
And well, like, there was some a spray, herbal spray that they wanted us to use, kind of a sagey spray to, you know, make sure that it wasn't on us and things. I think it's a good idea.
But, you know, I've just had some things happen in places where I've lived that I just never thought were haunted locations. But then I had paranormal experiences because something had followed me home and then got really bored with me and go, I do not want to, haunt her. She's so boring.
Or I'm not sure that there aren't spirits that just float from place to place, to thing to, you know, why not?
Yeah.
What's to say something has to stay in one place?
Yeah.
Right? That they, you know, for some reason or another become attached to this thing for a while and then that thing. And then maybe they just leave the house altogether and float off and end up in another, you know, situation or whatever.
Or they follow people home and then realize how boring that person is, like me, for example, and go, I can find someone much more interesting.
Well, if you think about it, like, there are many people that kind of just, you know, wander through their lives, not really being able to, you know, settle down or settle into something. And I think, why not? Why would that change after they die?
Mm-hmm. So here is the story, and it says, I've always believed I might be haunted. I've had paranormal experiences for as long as I can remember, and by now, I'm not surprised when something weird happens. But this particular experience, this one stuck with me because it's one of the scariest things I've ever gone through. It didn't end when I left the location. Something followed me home, and it stayed. A few years ago, I made some new friends in Arkansas. We started hanging out pretty regularly, and eventually the topic of the paranormal came up. So one night they told me about a cabin they had visited before. It was deep in the woods. They swore it was haunted. They said they'd caught EVPs there, even saw a woman's apparition. That woman, they said, tied in with the tragic history of the property. But the spirit I ended up encountering, she didn't match any of the known history, and that's what made it even creepier. So naturally, after hearing all of this, I wanted to check the place out for myself. So one weekend, three or four of us piled into my friend's Jeep. We headed down a long gravel road. The deeper we went, the more run down the houses became. And by the time we reached what I guess you could call a parking area, a circular clearing that was covered in gravel, we were completely surrounded by woods. No other people, no lights, no cell service.
Leave.
This is a shit movie. This is the start of a movie.
Okay, what could possibly go
Everything.
Wrong? There you go.
So we all climbed out of the Jeep, stood around chatting for a bit. One of the guys brought a pistol. I didn't think much of it. We were out in the middle of nowhere. Anything could be out there, animal or otherwise. I agree. Mm-hmm. So to get to the cabin, we had to walk a ways down a wooden trail. As we walked, they filled me in on the backstory. So apparently the property used to be a campground or resort. There were several cabins at one time. The legend goes two brothers fell in love with the same woman. She loved one of them. When she told the other brother, he snapped. He killed her, then killed his brother, and then himself. Locals say if you shoot a gun on the property, you'll hear a woman scream. So that story definitely set the mood as we made our way toward the cabin with no cell service and it's pitch dark in the woods. No, thank you. When we arrived, it looked exactly how you'd expect an abandoned cabin in the woods to look. Inside, there was one bedroom, a small living room, and a kitchen. The minute I stepped into the kitchen, I felt something shift. I got cold chills from head to toe, and I backed out slowly because it did not feel right. We ended up in the bedroom. There were a few old dining room chairs. We sat down, turned our flashlights off, and sat in silence, waiting. At first, it was quiet. Then we heard the cabin's main door creak open. We even heard footsteps across the wooden floor. Then we heard quicker, smaller footsteps, like someone was running. The sound just stopped outside the bedroom's screen door. One of the guys leaned forward to peek out into the living room, and when he turned back around, the look on his face was enough to scare the life out of me. He said, there's a little girl standing out there, and she's coming toward the door.
Jeez.
Run. Now, let me just say, I hate creepy kids in horror movies. It's one of the few things that truly freak me out. So the idea of a ghost child walking toward us in the dark, I was ready to run. But instead, we decided to communicate. My God, this just gets worse. One of the guys asked, if we can't leave, knock once. If we can, knock twice. That's a weird thing to ask, isn't it?
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. That is not what I would have asked.
So we waited one knock. Then I asked, can we leave? We're sorry for disturbing you. One knock. And so it's saying, leave. Oh, and then after a pause, a second knock. We didn't wait around. Someone yelled run and we were gone. As we ran, my friend with the pistol fired it into the air. And almost instantly, a deafening scream echoed through the woods. It didn't sound like it came from one direction. It sounded like it came from everywhere. We jumped into the Jeep, took off down that gravel road. We were all rattled and shaken. Later, I found out that no one had ever reported seeing a little girl at that cabin, ever. And I was the only girl who had been there. Others visited before me, and none of them had encountered her either. But that wasn't the end of it. Now, I'm going to interrupt here. I think that just because no one has ever reported that doesn't mean it doesn't exist. I mean, you know, there's hauntings all the time. People might experience something that no one else has.
Right.
Because I do think it could change day to day. I think that sometimes you get there and there's a spirit one day that's not there the next.
Well, or the other thing here is you're basing your fear of this place on a story that may or may not be true. Like, are they positively sure this murder of the girlfriend and the brother and then the, you know, self-inflicted gunshot happened there? Are they positive
and
that
did it
was
happen? Because that could be the legend, the local
exactly.
lore.
And so you're placing the whole haunting context in relation to this story, and it's not fitting this story.
Yeah.
Well, so, maybe it's a different story. Yeah.
So I just think because there was no reports that you'd heard of a girl being there doesn't mean.
Right. That That's what happen. I'm saying, too. Yeah.
So it says, that wasn't the end of it. When I got home, things started happening. I'd hear giggling in empty rooms or soft, muffled voices when no one was around. It wasn't every night, but it was often enough to be unnerving. This went on for years. Eventually, the activity faded and just stopped. She never showed herself to me, but I always had the feeling something was there. My friend, the one who saw her, still talks about it. He said she was one of the most terrifying things he'd ever seen. He described her as looking waterlogged, like she had drowned. Her face, he said, looked like it had been cut off and sewn back on, jagged, wrong, and lifeless. To this day, I'm not sure what we encountered that night. I don't think it was really a little girl. I think it was something dark pretending to be something innocent. I'm with you on that. Whatever it was powerful enough to follow me home. That's from Mandy. So we hear those stories all the time. You know, when you see a child ghost, is it really?
Right.
You know, there's so many stories of it really wasn't a child and it was some kind of demonic thing and it just presented as a child to kind of suck you in and feel a little sympathy and compassion because it's a child.
Mm-hmm. Right. There is that. So let's say that's possibility number one. Right. Not a child at all. And it's something evil presenting itself because you tend to, like you said, feel bad about a child. So you open up and let that thing in. So that's possible, right? You know, as I was listening to this story, I wasn't even quite sure that I believed as far as that the two guys that were with her weren't pulling her leg.
Could
you
be.
Know, that they were, because she did not see the girl, right? You know, I mean, I guess I was just young once and would go do sort of things like this. And, you know, I can just see the guys that I run around with, oh, we will get her tonight, you know, and place somebody out in the bushes to scream and, you know, just look out the window and say, there's a little girl out there. And then, of course, you know, you're going to freak out because you think there's a little girl, but you didn't see the little girl, mm-hmm. right? You know, as I'm listening to this story, I didn't feel that Mandy herself ever, like you, it just felt like you could have somebody stationed out there to open and shut the door, to make some footstep noises, to do some stuff. Like these are things I think you could prank somebody on. Where it kind of falls out of that was when she got into the, had it stopped there, I would have gone, I think maybe it was a prank. But it didn't stop mm-hmm. there, right? When she got home, you know, for years, she would hear a giggle. She would hear maybe footsteps. There seemed to be something that came along.
And why would you hear that for years? And then it just quits. That's so weird.
And then it just quits. And why did it not present itself to her? Like, why didn't she see it? Why did he just see it that one night? But then it seemed to hang around her for years, but she never saw it. She just heard things. And then, but she did say that, you know, years later, this friend who saw it still was shook up about what he saw that night. So I do, where, when the story was going along, I was thinking, you so got pranked. But then when they switched and, you know, things happened to her for a very long time afterwards, and her friend would bring it up later. He didn't have to do that. If it was a jokester thing, I don't think he would have.
Yeah.
Right? He'd have let it go or whatever. I do think something happened there that night. I'm not sure it had one thing to do with that first scary story. I think that first story of the brother, the two brothers in love with the girl, I'm not sure that was it.
Well, and that's just the kind of story that goes around town, too.
Right. And then that's the story that gets you shook up. And then you try to shape the haunting around this legend, this urban myths kind of story that you heard. Now, could it be true? I suppose it could be. I just didn't feel like that was it. It feels like something different happened there.
I don't know what the hell that was, but it would really bother me to have that experience. And then the frickin' thing follows me home.
For years.
For years. I'm like, God, I just want that night to be left behind me. It was terrifying. Even if your friends were punking you, that would be terrifying.
Okay. And now, Mandy, I want you to turn off the radio right now, or wherever you're listening to this, because I don't want you to listen to this part of it. Everybody else, stay here. Do you think it's really gone?
Yeah,
or
I do.
Is it going to come back? Or has Mandy just found a way to block it out, to build a wall so it's not bothering her?
I don't know. Maybe it just got bored. But maybe it's, I don't know. I think Mandy would know if it stopped.
You know, because it must happen. It didn't just go away. That's why I said, Mandy, turn up here.
And it's not a little girl. That one is, I just see, this is why I don't do that stuff.
I know, you do not.
If you don't put yourself in the situation where you end up in the woods and have to go through the dark to an abandoned cabin, all of the things at any time along the way, there should be that inner voice going, bad idea, bad idea, bad idea.
And the other aspect of this story is, you know how scary Arkansas is out in the forests in Arkansas in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the night? That is scary stuff.
Very scary, all in and of itself.
Right?
And especially they were so far out there that like the houses are starting to get really nasty looking.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I don't like it. So maybe that's the lesson Mandy needs to take away. Don't do that shit again.
Yeah.
Just stay away. Well, let's do another story. And it says, hey, guys, I absolutely love your podcast. A friend of mine actually recommended it to me not too long ago. And wow, I'm so glad they did. Thank you. Listening to all the stories gives me chills. It made me remember my own experience with the paranormal. I figured it was time to share. Ever since I was little, I could see things. I honestly thought it was normal for every kid. Like I just assumed everyone woke up in the middle of the night and saw stuff. One of the earliest things I remember happened when I used to sleep in my mom's room. I'd wake up out of nowhere, completely alert, and see a figure standing in the doorway. Happened almost every night, and I told my mom about it, but she just brushed it off, thinking it was my imagination, but it wasn't. The scariest experience, the one that scarred me for life, happened when I was 16, and I still remember it like it just happened. It was early in the morning, probably like 4 or 5 a.m. My brother had left for work, and we always reminded him to turn off the living room lamp because by the time we woke up, the sun would be out anyway. Well, that morning, I was still asleep when I heard my dog barking. I didn't think much of it. We don't live in the safest neighborhood, and she barks at random people outside all the time. But this time was different. Her barking wasn't angry, it was scared. So I sat up, already getting a weird feeling in my chest, and I looked out toward the living room, and that's when I saw the lamp was still on. And in the light of that lamp, I saw two figures. Not shadows, but figures. Solid enough that I could hear them walking around, footsteps creaking like someone moving through the space slowly. I seriously thought someone had broken into our house. I grabbed my dog, ran straight to my mom's room. I woke her up panicking, saying someone was in the house. And my mom, she's way braver than me. She didn't even hesitate. She grabbed a broken metal curtain rod and marched right out of the room, ready to swing. I stayed back at first, just listening, but I didn't hear anything. No footsteps or voices or anything, so I followed her into the living room. It was empty. My mom just stared at me confused, and then she started laughing, saying maybe I was still dreaming. But I wasn't. I was awake. I saw those figures. I heard them. Even when I was walking down the hallway to her room, I could hear them moving. And my dog had never acted like that before. She was terrified, shaking in my arms, and that was not normal barking. She sensed something too. That experience stuck with me, made me question everything. Like, how do you explain that kind of thing to someone who's never seen it? Another thing happened around the same time, also when I was 16. This one was at my uncle's house. My mom was calling me to help with dinner, but because I was being a little shit, I decided to scare her instead. So I took the long way around through another hallway to sneak up behind her. As I passed the living room, I caught something out of the corner of my eye, a man sitting on the couch. I figured it was my uncle. So I kept going on, trying to sneak up on my mom, and before I could, the front door opened and in walked my uncle, holding a bag of groceries. I immediately ran back to the living room, but it was empty. No one was there, no sound, no movement, just an empty couch and the TV still off. A few weeks later, my aunt pulled me aside and asked if anything strange had happened to me in the house, and I told her what I saw, and that's when she told me that an older man had actually passed away in that house years before, and he died in that room. Now that I'm older, I don't see spirits like I used to, at least not clearly. Shadow figures are more common now, little glimpses out of the corner of my eyes, shapes that don't quite belong. I'll feel something too, like pressure in a room or like someone's watching me. There are moments when I'll stop at a doorway and this little voice in my head says, "Don't go in there right now." It's not fear exactly, it's more like a warning. So I don't go in. I wait until that feeling passes. I don't know why I've always had this gift, as one of my friends calls it. It's not something I asked for or something I can always control, but it's always been there. Anyway, that's all I can remember for now. If more memories come back to me, I'll definitely send them in. Thanks for reading this. Thanks for keeping the stories coming. Jacqueline. And she put gift in quotes, and I get why you would be like, gift, is it? I don't know.
So I'm guessing the whole family must have known about this gift, because why else would the aunt pull her aside and say, did anything happen to you in that room?
Well, I wonder, too, that what might have been left out is she might have said, you know, when the uncle came in, she might have been like, I just thought I saw you in the other room.
But with the aunt saying that, it just seems to me like the aunt's, you know, heard something, and maybe the aunt felt something too. Maybe the aunt saw something.
Yeah.
And so went to Jacqueline and said, did anything happen to you? You know, because, and what maybe the aunt didn't say was, because I've had the same problem.
Exactly. Well, you and know, I just have
there's
to
there's some
wonder.
Reason she pulled her aside and asked her that question. There's a reason for it.
Oh, absolutely. You know. Because it's validating. And, you know, it's like, good, I'm not the only one and I'm not crazy. That could definitely
right,
be
that's,
it.
We all want that validation, you know. And what do you think about the two guys in the living room?
I thought that was kind of interesting because it was so real. She thought that there were intruders and there was nobody there.
But could there have been? They just ducked out after they'd been seen.
You know, maybe. Because it would take her a minute to get to her mom's room.
And then maybe they were like, oh, she went, well, let's get out of here.
I mean, maybe it was real.
Either way, it's creepy as shit. But I think I can't even tell you which one I'd like.
I was just going to ask better. You, would you prefer an intruder, an actual person, criminal, who's there to rob, steal, and pillage or something? Or would you prefer it be paranormal?
I honestly would prefer paranormal. These real people, they do real creepy shit.
Yeah, paranormal is, can we say like, paranormal, okay, not demonic?
Yeah, like the paranormal thing is scary, right? But these real people, you don't know what they're capable of.
Oh, hell no.
You know? So I guess I'd go with that. I it sounds like Jacqueline could definitely see that, you know, it could be paranormal and Jacqueline could have seen. So I'm not saying it wasn't, but is there a possibility? And like I said, I may be more creeped out this way than that, was that there were two people in the living room that ducked out before your mom got there.
Could be, which is super, super creepy.
Either way, it's a creepy story.
Because I've been, there's been two times my house got broken into and I did not catch them in the house. But my God, getting over the fact that someone had been through my house, going through all my stuff. Like one time they pulled all of my clothes out of my chest of drawers and all over the floor. Like I had a real problem letting that go. Like I've had paranormal experiences that I did not have that much of a problem. Like I don't sleep that night, but after a couple nights, I'm kind of back to normal. I wasn't like that with the break-in.
It's dramatic.
Just the idea of someone being in my stuff. And
yeah, I've had it happen before too, and it was months of me not being able to sleep at night. I think either way it's scary. I think Jacqueline asked a really cool question because it does appear to me that Jacqueline has this quote unquote gift, because from an early age would wake up, see figures standing there.
Yeah.
You know, in the doorway and stuff. But ask that interesting question, and I think this is a question for all people that have some abilities and see things. How do you explain this to someone who has never had that experience before? Like when she ran to get her mom, she's like, there's something, you know, and then the mom's like, I don't know, you know. And I've had it too, where I go, you know, God dang it. And people give you this weird look, like, well, I don't know.
Well, and once again, we've had this conversation so many times, but if someone has not had a paranormal experience, how can they believe in it? They might be able to believe in the concept, but it's never happened to them.
Yeah.
Now, once it does, then it's like, what was that? It's like, that's what I've been trying to tell you.
Well, and, you know, like, I know I've told this story before, but it kind of plays into this a little bit. When I was 12, I was working at the library in Elma, Nebraska. It was one of those old Carnegie libraries. And I was helping clean and dust and put magazines and books away and stuff. And they kept the periodicals down in the basement. So I had to go down in the basement and I was putting the magazines, you know, you placed them by date or whatever, year and whatever, on these shelves. And I was putting this box of magazines back where they belong. And all of a sudden I felt something and I turned around and looked in the doorway and there was a little girl standing there. And she was not right in the doorway. She was kind of like in the hall right before you come into the room. And she was wearing a plaid dress. She had red hair, freckles, you know, and she just, it was an old-fashioned dress too. And it was an old-fashioned hairdo. You know, it was like my grandmother's hairdo kind of thing when she was a child. And then she just kind of turns and walks into one of the other doors, rooms. And I'm standing there. I know I have just seen a ghost. I know this thing is not real. Right? And so I think I left the magazines. I ran up the stairs. I ran up into the library and I didn't know what I was going to do, but I ran in there and Mrs. Dugan, who is my navigation is named after,
on my car. I always say Mrs. Dugan, take me places. But Mrs. Dugan looked at me and she said, are you okay? And I said, oh. And I couldn't speak. And she looked at me and she said, did you see her? And I said, yes. And she goes, okay, you'll never have to do that again.
As in go to the basement by yourself or see her.
Exactly. Okay. Go to the basement by myself. She said, I will do it. And that was the most wonderful, validating thing that could have happened right at that moment. You know, I was just 12 years old and I'd just seen a ghost. And for somebody to know exactly what I was going through, because she knew. Because she asked if I'd seen her. And I think she might have thought I was fine and would not have that ability, but I did. And okay, you know, it'll never have to happen again. So I lucked out that time that it was somebody that believed me. Had they not believed me, could I have kept my job? I don't know.
Which is crazy. You had a job at 12.
I didn't have a job at 12. I think it paid 50 cents an hour. But, you know, it was a job. And it was a good little job at the library. I enjoyed working with Mrs. Dugan. But I'm, you know, I lucked out that she looked at me and knew what I'd been through. And I think Jacqueline brings up that point. What do we do when we're not believed? You know, I guess nothing. I guess we just...
You really, I mean, there's not a lot you can do because...
You're not going to convince somebody
exactly,
that doesn't believe.
Exactly.
You know? So, I think there are a lot of people that have never had the experience but still believe you.
And I think there's a lot of people who want to have an experience.
There's that too.
But then I think there's a lot of people who just aren't going to go, period. It's like, nope, doesn't exist.
I read somewhere that there's a huge percentage of the population that says they have had a paranormal experience. Like, I want to say it was 60 or 70%
That's
have
a lot.
Had something happen that they could not explain and felt like it was paranormal. And even those, we often get people that'll still say, well, I'm still skeptical. You know, I'm still not quite sure. And so, you know, I think for the large part, the true people who do not believe is not very big.
I don't know.
Maybe
think
it's 25%, maybe it's 30%. But I think a large percent of the population believe it or they would entertain it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know, but poor Jacqueline.
Oh.
A lot of stuff. If you have a real ghost story, share it with us. If you want to call it in, leave a voicemail at 855-853-4802. If you want to write it down, just go to realghoststoriesonline.com. If you want to be a premium subscriber, no commercials, advanced episodes, access to the archive, you could do that through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thanks for listening.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets tickets now at cosi.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Cosi. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Cosi starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at cosi.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Cosi. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Cosi starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at cosi.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Cosi. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Cosi starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at cosi.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Cosi. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Cosi starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at cosi.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Cosi. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Cosi starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at cosi.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Cosi. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Cosi starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at cosi.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Cosi. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Cosi starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at cosi.org.